to bring healing. It's going to bring freedom to every heart that receives this word this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that fresh grace, fresh anointing, fresh impartation is going to be released through your word this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray that everyone who's come to this service is going to go back fully transformed in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch every heart, touch every soul, and cause a release to happen in their life this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start with a very short story this morning, and I want you to just follow this story because it's going to bring the whole context to what I'm preaching this morning. Now, one day, a man, and listen to me, a man named Truth and a man named Lie. So there was Truth. So there was a man called Truth, and there was also another man called Lie. They stood by the riverside, just outside the town. Now, these brothers were actually twins, or these men were twins, and they loved each other, they liked each other, they've worked together. Now, on this fateful day, Lie challenged Truth to a race. So Lie challenged Truth and said, "Let's have a race," claiming he could swim across the river faster than the Truth. So Lie told his brother Truth and said, "You know what? I can swim faster than you. I'm calling you to a challenge. Let the two of us get engaged in this particular race." Lie laid out the rules to the challenge, stating that they both must remove their clothes and on the count of three, dive into the freezing cold water to swim to the other side and back. So Lie said, "You know what? I'm going to set the rule. Once I count three, the two of us are going to jump inside the water and we're going to swim across the river and swim back." Glory to God. So Lie counted to three. But when Truth jumped in, so Truth, being truthful, jumped into the river and began to swim. Now Lie did not. So Lie stayed by the river bank. He refused to jump into the cold water. Now as Truth swam across the river, Lie went on to put on Truth's clothes because he's put his clothes down by the river bank to swim across the river. So Lie put on Truth's clothes and walked back to the town dressed as Truth. He proudly paraded himself, pretending to be Truth. Truth made it back to the shore, but his clothes were gone and he was left naked with only Lie's clothes to wear. So Lie took on Truth's clothes and went back to the city and began to tell everybody in the city, "You know what? I am Truth." At this time, remember, Truth was still in the river swimming. So by the time he came back to the riverside, he discovered two things. Lie did not jump into the river with him and his clothes were gone. And because he did not want to wear Lie's clothes, he decided he wasn't going to wear it. So Truth walked back to town naked. People stared and glared at naked Truth as he walked through the town. He tried to explain what happened, that he was in fact Truth. So Truth was naked. He began to tell everyone. He said, "Listen, guys," he said, "I am the Truth." But people did not believe him because he was naked. Naked, naked, naked Truth. People did not believe, but they believed the Lie because Lie was wearing his clothes. But because he was uncomfortable, he was naked and uncomfortable to look at, it was difficult for people to continue to look at him. They mocked him and they shunned him, refusing to believe that he really was Truth. The people in town chose to believe Lie because he was dressed appropriately and he was easier to look at. From that day on till this day, people have come to believe a lie rather than a naked Truth. People have come to believe a lie rather than a naked, because Lie was beauty to behold. Lie was dressed up well. And isn't it what we experience in our world today, that lies are easily believed because they are packaged in such a way that they look good, they look truthful, they look honest. In fact, our media tells us that the more you lie many times over and over again, people begin to believe it as truth. And if there's anything that I believe is cast in our world today, it is the truth. It is the truth. I like one of the things, two things Winston Churchill mentioned. He said, "In wartime, truth is so precious that she could She should always be attended by bodyguards of lies. Because of course, in wars, you know that armies come with deceptions to be able to attack and destroy their enemies. And Winston Churchill also said, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to put his pants on. Praise God. A lie moves halfway around the world before truth can actually catch up with him, if he eventually catches up. Now, lies has been in the center of one of the strategies in which the devil uses to deceive us. It's at the center of the strategy in which the devil uses to hold us bound together. And you can see the same scenario being played out here. When Jesus told the disciples and said, the Pharisees, and said, listen, I am the truth. And if you believe me, you are going to be set free. And the next verse, in verse 33, the Pharisees, the teachers of the laws, who should know better, answered Jesus and said, we are Abraham's descendants. And let me tell you, Jesus, we have never been in bondage. Glory to God. He said, we have never been in bondage in any way. Because they didn't know the truth. And Jesus was right in front of them, saying, listen, I am the truth. But their mind could not conceive it, because there's been a lie that the devil has put into their heart. There's been a lie that the devil has told them that they are not in bondage. And Jesus was very clear. He said, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but his son abides. He said, whosoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Amen. So Jesus told them, I am the truth. Lies is everywhere. You open your social media, it's filled with lies. Anywhere you go to, it's filled with lies. And we as Christians, we have to be intentional and deliberate to seek the truth. And that's the challenge I want to throw to us today. Because we've got to be careful that the devil does not lie, you know, does not rob us of our blessing, does not rob us of our joy, does not rob us of the goodness that God intends for us through lies. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 10, we see the temptation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus had gone to fast for 40 days and 40 nights and was coming out of the wilderness, the devil showed up. And this morning, I just want to point out three specific areas that the devil uses to put us in bondage. Three ways in which the devil uses to just capture us, to ensure that we become loyal to him. The first temptation, when Jesus came out, of course, Jesus, having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, had not eaten, obviously was going to be hungry. And the devil knew exactly that Jesus was going to be very, very vulnerable. And that's what the devil does. He ensures that he gets us at the point in which we are vulnerable. So Jesus was very vulnerable. And of course, he used his lowest point of weakness for him. He said, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, listen, turn that stone into bread and you eat. You know, this was what the devil was trying to do. He was trying to define what was most important to Jesus Christ. He was trying to change his identity. The devil was trying to say, listen, Jesus, I want you to know that bread is far more important to you than any other thing. The most important thing you need right now is bread. You know, if you've ever been very poor in your life, the only thing you're going to be thinking about is how you're going to get rich. How you are going to get a lot of money. If you've never had any property, the only thing you're going to be thinking about is, how do I acquire more property? So that, you know, you think that life can have a big sense of meaning to you. So the first thing the devil tries to do is to change your identity. Is to tell you what is most important to you. Is to sell you what he or she thinks is most important to you, not what God thinks is important. Now, you've got to be careful about that. In our world today, we are told that if you are famous, glory to God, if you are famous, if you have a lot of money, then you are successful. But I tell you, all around the world today, we're just learning of someone who's been very, very successful in his endeavors in life in church this morning, who in the last 1 year moved from nobody to somebody, and yet today he's depressed. He's not happy about his life. Because, and that's the lie of the devil. He tells us that money will solve our problem. He tells us that you just get a lot of promotion in your work. That's the most important thing for you. He sells that to you as a lie. He shows you those images on TV. He shows you those images in books. He shows you those images by painting a picture of successful people with big houses, with big cars, with big properties, and makes you think that that is what success means. It changes your identity. It tries to change your identity. But listen, Jesus responded by redefining who he was. So Jesus told the devil, he said, listen, man shall not live by bread alone. Glory to God. He said, man shall not live. He said, he's telling the devil, that's a lie. Because you think you're trying to reprioritize what is most important to me. But I'm telling you, devil, that is a lie. What is most important to me right now is the word of God. And Jesus said, man will live by every word of God. So first thing, don't let the devil redefine your identity by telling you what is most important to you. It is God who has created you, who has made you, and he's the one who has the authority and the power to tell you what is most important to you. And God says to you right now, wherever you are, that what is most important to you is his word. Secondly, the devil tried to change Jesus' loyalty. And the second temptation in Matthew chapter 4, he took Jesus to this place and Jesus, just throw yourself down. Because you know what, Jesus, if you throw yourself down, God will send his angels and the angels will pick you up. The angels will keep you. So it doesn't cost you anything. Now, the next strategy that the devil uses is to steal your loyalty, is to get your loyalty, is to make you become loyal to him. Serve him. Think about him. Now, what he told Jesus to do did not make sense. He just told Jesus, fall down. For what? But that's the devil. He just wanted to see whether Jesus was going to obey and fall for his trick. And Jesus said, listen, devil, no one tempts God. You cannot tempt God. Now, it is dangerous for us to assume some certain things and use those things to cover up and of course, in the process, tempt God. Sometimes we overstretch and overuse the grace of God over our lives. Yes, we are Christians and we think it's now the time for us to live our lives anyhow. You know, when we're supposed to come to church and they call us to go and walk somewhere, we say, no, that's more important. That pays my bill. I am going to run away. I'm going to do that. And we think, yo, God understands. Now, we've got to be careful about tempting God. Because sometimes we come around with this, you know, we're just going to say little lie. It's just a little lie. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just a little lie. I mean, it's not, if I'm not honest, it's just okay in this instance. Amen. God knows, God understands. The blood of Jesus is there to forgive me. And we do it. Jesus said, don't tempt God. So as a Christian, don't let the devil use those small little things to hold you down and gain your loyalty. So Jesus said, you can't tempt God. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 4 verse 7, he said, resist the devil and flee away from him. Because the devil himself is the father of all lies. In the book of John chapter 8 verse 44, if I can have it, I'm just going to go back. John chapter 8 verse 44. Jesus was describing the devil. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. So the devil is a liar and the father of all liars. So we need to understand that the trick of the devil is to use lies to hold us down, is to use lies to gain our loyalty, is to use lies to steal our loyalty away from us. So Jesus said, you're not going to tempt God. You see, just because you have the capacity to do some certain things does not mean you should do them. Praise God. Just because you have the power to take some certain decisions and you think you're going to get away with it, does not mean you should do them. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6, it says, shall we continue to, you know, sin so that grace may abound? And Paul said, no, certainly not. We've got to be careful that we don't tempt God when the devil tries to lie to us. The third temptation, he took Jesus to this pinnacle, to this high place. I said, Jesus, look at all this glory. Look at all these buildings. And he says, Jesus, if you can only bow to me, I'm going to give you every single thing. Praise God. The third thing the devil tries to steal away from us is our worship. And worship is such a powerful thing because whatever you worship owns you. Praise God. Whatever you worship owns you. So the devil showed Jesus all this glory and said, Jesus, you know what? If you can worship me, if these things become your priority, if all these buildings, if all this glory becomes yours, you just worship me and you have every single thing. What are you worshiping right now? What has become your God right now? What is taking the place of God? Have we become so troubled in our hearts that we find fulfillment in many other things in life apart from seeking it in God? Have we begin to worship our jobs? Are we now worshiping our relationships? Are we worshiping our successes? Are we worshiping our glory, the fame? Listen to me this morning. That is a lie from the pit of hell. When the devil makes you to begin to worship those things. Because when you begin to worship those things, they own you. Praise God. And they put you in bondage. So Jesus was very, very clear. He said, listen. He said, listen, devil. He said, the Bible says that we cannot worship any other person apart from God. The only person we worship is God. And I want to encourage you today that God should be the only person you worship. God should come first in your life. The Bible, scripture tells us, it says, love the Lord of God with all your heart, with all your mind. So God should always come first in your life. Don't let the devil sell any other thing to you apart from that, because you are never going to get fulfillment and joy from those things. So three things I mentioned today that the devil tries to steal away from us: our identity, our loyalty, and our worship, who you worship. So it's important that we continue to let our worship go to God. It's important that we ensure that our worship with God is intact, because that's the only way we can have true fulfillment and joy in life. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus was clear, and I want to talk about the truth. Because now we've talked about the strategies of the devil in getting us through lies. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the truth. Now listen, this is the danger I see personally in our world today, because everyone is talking about seeking the truth, trying to know the truth. You know, sometimes I'm amazed when I watch some programs and I see people whose family members were murdered maybe 30, 40 years ago, and they've not been able to resolve who killed those family members, and they've been waiting to get the truth, even though they know those people are dead. But they've been waiting because they believe that when they get the truth, it's just going to bring a closure, a relief to their lives. So everyone, one way or the other, wants the truth. That's the honest thing. But truth is relative, right? Because what is true to you might not be true to the next person. And we can even live in a world where everybody defines their own truth. Praise God. Defines. Now, can you just imagine in our world today if everyone defines what truth is to them? It's going to be chaotic. Because I can come up and say, well, for me, killing people is a good thing. It's true. But that is harming other people. It's not true. To other people, that is the worst thing you can ever do. So the world itself is going to be a chaotic place if everyone has the opportunity to define truth. Truth must be defined in the context of a boundary. Praise God. There has to be a boundary to truth itself. So Jesus here in the book of John chapter 14 verse 6 defined that boundary for humanity, and he was very equivocal about it. He didn't mince his words about it. John chapter 14 verse 6. Let's see what the scripture says, if you can join me. Amen. You know, one of the things I love about Jesus was that he was a straight shooter. He says it as it is. And if he wasn't sure, praise God, I'm not sure he would say the way he said it in the word. So Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the truth. And I want to say to you today that Jesus is the truth. If you want to find the truth, go look at Jesus. Don't look at the world system. Don't look at people around you because they haven't got it. The only one who can confidently say it and who has confidently said it is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the truth. And no wonder Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 to 20 was praying for the Ephesian church. He says that your eyes of understanding might be opened. You might understand what is that riches that God has for you in his inheritance. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye might know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. He said that you might know. That you might know. So Paul was saying, forget about every single thing that I've achieved. Now, Paul was a great achiever. Paul was a scholar. Paul was well-read. Paul had a lot of access to kings, to princes, to people in position of power. But at the end of the day, Paul realized that the only thing that can bring true fulfillment was for him to know Christ. And he was praying the same prayer to the Ephesian church. Now, one interesting thing about the Ephesian church was that it was an incredible, powerful church. In fact, the city of Ephesus was located in a place where there were riches. It was a commercial area, but a lot of Christians living in that city were behaving as if they were slaves. And Paul was now praying to them and say, you've got to know what you have in Christ, because Jesus Christ is the truth. If you want 2021 to be a great year for us, seek the truth, which is found in Christ Jesus. Now, let me tell you three truths. Praise God. Quickly, I'll just tell you three truths that Christ wants you to know and understand. The first truth, and you can write down, is that your past should not define you. Praise God. First truth, your past in Christ should not define you. You are a changed person. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, that word creature means a new entity, a new being. He says, all things are passed away and all things are become new. Don't let the devil tell you that you are who you are before you came to Christ Jesus. In Romans 8, he said, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't care what your past has been, but I want to tell you right now that you are the beloved of God. I want to tell you right now that you have been carefully and chosen for this time for the glory of God. God has carefully selected you. You are precious before God. I remember many years ago, there was a lady that I was, counseling, and she's been a street worker in her previous life before she came to Jesus Christ. And she told me that she wants to go back to where she was before so that she can share the gospel with them. Of course, I didn't allow that initially. We prayed and prepared her for that. And when she was ready, she went back there. And when she got back there, she began to talk to some of the people there about, Jesus Christ. And one of the guys that she's messed around with in the past, came back and said, I know you, praise God. And she said, no, you don't. And the guy said, I know you. 4 or 5 years ago, I know you. I used to patronize you. And the lady said, that wasn't me. You are speaking to a different person entirely. And this guy was embarrassed. And this guy kept on saying, it's you. And she said, no, it's not me. She knew her right. Praise God. She knew she was different. She didn't want her past to define her. And a lot of people try to do that. Just because they know who you were in the past, they try to use that to define you. When you've got Jesus in your heart, in your mind, you're a completely different person. Praise God. You are a completely different person. And don't let the devil lie to you and remind you and make you feel that you were who you were. You are a changed person. And the second thing I'd like to say to you today that Christ wants you to know, which is the truth, is that your future is brighter than what you think. Praise God. Your future right now is brighter than what you think. That's what Jesus wants you to know, because he died so that you can have a glorious future. He died and resurrected so that your future can be bright. You're not going to live in bondage. You're not going to live in sin. That's why he died. So your future is in Christ Jesus. Your hope should be in him. And that hope tells us that you have a bright future. Praise God. If you're ending this 2020 with all the experiences we've had, and you feel depressed right now, I want to just encourage you. Let your hope be in Christ. Because when your hope is in Christ, I tell you something, you're going to have a glorious 2021 in the mighty name of Jesus. When Jesus thinks about you, he thinks about your tomorrow being better than today and yesterday. That's the truth. Don't let the devil tell us that, well, the economy is going to go so bad, you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your relationship. Now, that is a lie from the devil, and don't fall for it in the mighty name of Jesus. So your future is bright. And the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7, look at what it says. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, glorious, glory to God, in the ages to come, his might might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. He said, in the ages to come, that God will show his exceeding greatness. Hallelujah. That's the future you have in Christ. Don't let the devil paint the picture of a bleak future for you right now. Don't let the devil paint the picture that your relationship cannot be restored, that your children cannot turn back from their ways. Don't let the devil tell you you're going to lose your job in 2021 because the economy is not going to rise and improve the way it's expected. Don't let the devil tell you that the plans that you have regarding some projects right now is not going to happen because of what is going to happen because of government policies. No. Look at Jesus. And what he says about you, he says, when Jesus thinks about you, he thinks about you, about goodness, about blessing, about increase. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 3, 4 to 6, he said, by which you have read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in ages was not made known to the sons of men. And it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his only apostles and prophets. Verse 6 said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Gentiles should be, when you become an heir to something, it means something you don't have now, but you are entitled to have it at some point. He says, we have become fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Partakers. God is a rich God. He's got a lot of things in abundance in his kingdom, and you are entitled to it. So don't ever let the devil think you don't have. You have. You just need access to it. Amen. You need access to it through prayers, through faithfulness, through commitment, through growth, maturity, through insight, through revelation, to be able to see what God has in stock for you. So this morning, as you listen to me, wherever you are, I want you to just begin to know that in Christ Jesus, you're going to have a wonderful and an exceedingly great year 2021 in the mighty name of Jesus. Irrespective of your experiences in 2020, God has a big plan for you. So your future is brighter than what you think. The third thing I just want you to know, God is sovereign. Amen. And he doesn't lie. He's not a man that he should lie, nor that the son of man that he should repent. And God's grace is available to you. The ability to do incredible and wonderful things. And in year 2021, I know his grace is more than available to you. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 38, verse 8, we see what the scripture, what God says to the children of Israel. God says, I am in control. I love you. And I want you to know that I've got your backs. And I want to say to you this morning that God has got your back. Amen. God has got your back. God thinks about you. God wants to protect you. God wants to keep you. In Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, and the Lord is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear and not be dismayed. Amen. And I want to say to you, as we move close to the year 2021, don't be dismayed. in the name of Jesus. You see, God says, I will not leave you. He's in control of your life, not the devil. Praise God. He says, do not fear. And I want to say to you this morning, don't be afraid. Because fear comes from the devil. And God is saying, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. Because he's got a big, big plan for you. Amen. So three things I said, three truths. Your past should not define you. Your future is better than what you think. And thirdly, God is sovereign and his grace is available to you. As I round up, I'll talk about the benefits. Three benefits, amen, of living in truth. And it's important we live in truth. Whatever you do, seek the truth. Don't live a lie. Because when you live a life, a lie, you lose the essence of the life, the Zoe life that God wants us to live. We lose that meaning. We lose that connection. We lose that opportunity. And that's why whatever you need to do, pursue the truth. Seek the truth. The first benefit I'm going to quickly talk about is truth brings freedom. As Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, truth reveals your true person. Truth brings out the best in you as a Christian. Truth brings out the authentic you. Because you know that's what you are created to do if you live by the truth. That's how you've been made to live, if you live by the truth. That's why it is too expensive to live in a lie. You see your friend on social media, wow. Maybe they've just gone to rent some clothes and some cars that they've used to take some pictures. And you see it and you say, wow, he is making it. He succeeded. And you try to get the same thing without knowing where he got those things. That's a lie. So truth brings freedom. If anyone is in Christ, is a new creature, we are free. Freedom is not the right to do what we want, but the ability to do what we ought. Freedom is not the right to do what we want, but the ability to do what we ought to do. So you have the power to do what is right, to live right. You are no longer a slave to sin. And that's what Jesus was telling the Pharisees. He said, listen, sin enslaves, but when you have the truth, you have freedom. The second benefit of truth is that it protects. That's powerful. It protects. You want protection? Live by the truth. Amen. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Amen. It's a very popular scripture we read where it talks about the belt of the truth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having guided your wrist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Guard your loins with the truth. Now, let me tell you something. In the Roman war apparel, they have this belt that they use. They put at their wrist. And what they use this belt to do is, that's where they keep their weapons. They use to attack their enemy. Their guns, their knives, their stones that they use for their catapult, their swords. They put it there. So it said, guard your loins, okay, with what? You're the truth. Amen. So the truth is what you use to destroy every lies of the enemy, every dart that the enemy throws at you is the truth you use in destroying it. And that's why when the devil came to Jesus with those lies, what did Jesus use? The word of God. He used the truth from the word of God to destroy every one of the lies that the devil was bringing to him. Amen. And it was protected. Praise God. So the truth protects you. It keeps you. And that's why whatever you need to do, pursue the truth. Look for the truth. And the truth, like I said, is in Jesus Christ. Every word Jesus spoke, everything he said, everything he lived for is the truth. And that is what we need to live our lives on, our lives by. The third thing is that the truth leads to eternity. If there's anything the devil tries to do is to ensure that you don't make it to heaven, you don't have eternity. And that's why he comes up with a lot of lies. And we have to be careful that we don't fall for these lies so that we don't miss eternity at the end of the day. So that our lives and whatever we're doing right now does not amount to nothing because we've lived a lie. So the truth enables us to get to eternity. The truth enables us to make it to heaven. The truth enables us to get to heaven. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus was saying, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I will give them what? Eternal life, because they are living by the truth. Every single word your pastor speaks to you every single Sunday, are you living by it, or you are making up your own reality, or you are listening to the devil, or listening to the wrong people who are giving you the wrong advice? You've got to live by the truth so that you can make it to eternity, so that you can make it to heaven. He says, my sheep, they will hear my voice. They will know me. They will follow me, and I'll give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them away out of my hand, because they listen to my voice. Praise God. They listen to my voice. As you step into year 2021, I want to encourage you that whatever you do, whatever you want to live your life on, seek the truth and live by the truth. Because it's only the truth that can give you true freedom. It's only the truth that can protect you. It's also it's only the truth that can lead you to eternity. And don't lose focus. Don't take your eyes away from the truth. Seek it. Live by it. Whatever you get. Now, sometimes searching and getting the truth comes at a cost. Pay the price. You've got to expose yourself to the right word by being in church all the time, listening to God's word, being in fellowship with him, you know, attending those activities that enables you to grow so that the truth can be established stronger in your heart. As I close, I'm going to say this statement from C.S. Lewis. He says, if you look for truth, you will find comfort. You will find comfort in the end. If you look for comfort, you will neither get comfort or truth, only soft soap and wishful thinking to begin, and in the end, despair. Let me take it again, slowly. If you look for the truth, you would find comfort in the end. If you look for comfort, you will neither get comfort or truth, only soft soap and wishful thinking to begin, and in the air, despair. Get the truth. Look for the truth. If you're looking for comfort in your life, you're looking for fulfillment in your life, you're looking for joy in your life, look for the truth. And that truth is only found in no other person than Jesus Christ. Would you just bow down your heads and let us pray this morning?